We're only going to play that once. Don't you like Dave? Anybody else? It's been my week. I had a chance to pray at a graduation this week, and I get up to pray, and guess what? The sound doesn't work. It worked great for the singer, but when it's my turn, and then I guess, isn't it fun when you have the modern technology and yet it doesn't work the way you expect or want? It always makes it exciting. But I'm going to tell you, I'm excited you're here, and I hope you're excited to be here. I'm beginning a new series of messages today, and I just want to kind of talk a minute about who we are and what God is doing in our life. Because I want to make sure you understand, it doesn't matter whether you're a Christian or you're just checking church out or you're not sure what to think about church, you don't even know what to do with God. This message, I think, has something for you, because what I want to talk about this week and the next few weeks is the reality that we all have leadership. The one thing I've always noticed with kids, and we used to have vacation Bible school, still do, and youth vacation Bible school, is kids always look up. You take little preschoolers, and who do they look up to? The older children. And you take the children, and who do they look up to? The teenagers. They want to run around with the teenagers, And then you take the teenagers, they want to hang out with the college kids, We all look up to just a little bit ahead of us. And I want us to think about this week and the next few weeks about leadership, that whoever you are, wherever you're at, that you're a leader. Now, I'm sure some of you are probably sitting there going, well, I don't lead anything. Well, I'm going to look at some scripture, and I want to look at your life, and I want you to think about that for a minute. And there's a passage I wanted to begin with. It's found here in Ephesians chapter 2. Let me kind of paint a picture for you here. Here's this early believer. This man named Paul becomes a believer. He had an encounter with God, and he chooses to start following God and become a leader. And so he writes a letter to this church in Ephesus. And this ancient letter he writes. And here's what he says about God and about you and I. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. I want to get you a picture here that God created every one of us. I have this deep-seated heart and deep-seated belief that I believe every life is a gift from God. Every life. God breathed into the nostrils of every life. Just like he breathed into the nostrils of Adam and Eve, he breathes into the nostrils of every life, and they became a living soul. And I believe that for every life, that God breathes life into all of us. And we're all here with a purpose, and we're all here with a plan from God. And there's no such things as accident. And I like that word workmanship, that God is working on us. That God is doing something in us. God is doing something through us. God is moving in our midst. And God has something he wants us to do and a purpose. And that's why I want you to circle that words, good works. I want you to think about that for a minute. That's what God wants. God put us all here. God placed all of us upon this earth to do good. Does anybody agree with that? That God wants us to do good? That God wants us contributors? That God wants us to make a difference? That God has a purpose and a plan for our lives. And what we've done in the past, and I use this, I had this little acrostic called SHAPE. And it kind of illustrates this, that God has given each of us spiritual gifts. He's given us a heart. He's given us abilities. He's given us a personality. He's given us some experiences. And he's shaped us to do good works. We're all shaped differently. Don't expect me to sing, all right? Because I can't sing. He didn't shape me with the gift to singing. Some of you know what I'm talking about, all right? We're going to get to hear somebody play a saxophone later, and he's talking about how he learned in school and how he started. And I can remember elementary school. We sat down. They put a record on. Tells you how long ago it was, okay, when I went to elementary school, all right? They had record players then. All right, and they put a record on the record player, and then we were supposed to write down, I don't know what we were supposed to write down, okay, but whatever we were supposed to write down, I didn't do it well, because they told me, well, you don't go into music. That's exactly what they told me, all right? God didn't shape me with that, all right? That is not what I have. Now, what I do have is a voice that can really speak, okay, and probably too long most of the time at that. But God shaped all of us different. We all have different gifts and different abilities. I take people, I got a car. Anybody here got a car? Anybody like working on cars? I used to enjoy changing my oil. Now it's Where's the nearest place I can change my... You know, we all have... You know, I look at guys working on cars, and it's like, I don't want to do that. I don't want to get my hands greasy. I'll work on a computer, but I'm not going to work on a... You know, we all have different gifts. There's a heart, you know, for certain things and abilities. And God changed... That's what it says. We're God's workmanship. God has worked us. He's formed us. He's shaped us to do good works. And that's what I want us to think about for... That God wants us to do good works. And now what I want to go with is this. Now, it's my job as a pastor to help bring those out in your lives. That's what God called me to do. That when God said to Gary, Gary, here's the vision I have for your life. Here's the plan and purpose I have for your life. Here's what I want you to do. And it's found here again, that letter that Paul wrote, that ancient letter. Here's what he says. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. When the church first interviewed me to become a pastor some 30-some-odd years ago, I quoted this as my job description, that God has called me to help equip you, to help equip the church, to help equip the workmanship of God with the gifts that God has for them so that we could do good stuff, that we can serve one another. That's been my challenge as a pastor, and that's been my calling as a pastor. And what I'm going to stand here before you today and kind of let you know that I haven't done too well at that. I've kind of missed the mark lately. Now, there was a time here that I'd done much better. And that's what I kind of want us to think about the next 4 weeks, kind of some things we're going to be looking at our church. Because I have this passion to make a difference, not just in a church, but in the world. I want to leave a footprint. You know, they always talk about that 15 seconds of fame? Is that what, or is it 15 minutes, whatever it is? You know, I don't want 15 minutes of fame. You need to know that. I want an impression that changes the world. Anybody want that? I want to leave a mark that the world is better because Gary went through this place. And I think we all want, does anybody here want to do good works? Anybody here want to make a difference? Anybody here want to have something that your life stands for that you can look back on and say, you know what? Look what I was able to accomplish. What I was able to do. And I want to challenge us with that. And so I put it this way, and I'm not just talking about the church, because I don't think good works just, well, it's church. I want good works in the world. I'm on a school board. I'm on the sanitation board. I'm on these various committees in our community because I want to make a difference. And so I put it this way. You got a little outline. I want you to put a couple of words in there. The first one is this. You need a ministry in the church. You need to find a place to plug into in the church. A place that gives you some ownership. A place that gives you a sense of belonging. A place that gives you a sense of fulfillment. A place that you plug into that you're ministering in the church, in God's kingdom here. And there's lots of things. It's not those who are in the front, like one of the worship team, which I really appreciate, especially this morning when things go wrong and somebody sits back there and... But there's lots of things to do. You know, somebody has to dump the garbage here. Did you know that? Somebody has to pull the weeds in the flower bed. I appreciate Brenda and Margaret go out there and clean up the flower beds and keep them kind of trimmed up for us. Somebody has to fold bulletins. You know, there's always, you know, it's not just those who are in the front. Somebody needs to sit with children so that you can sit in here. Enjoy. See, we need these ministries in the church, Awana and Children's Church. But I also want to say the next word I want you to put in there is the word, we need a mission in the world. You need to be on mission in the world. You need to be plugged in to the world. You know, Jesus, when he was talking, he says, in the world, but not of the world. Some of you know that passage and you know the teaching. We need to be part of the world. I look at our world and ask you this. Would the world not be a better place if Christian values were not better represented in our world? What do you think? That if we had people who had Christian values, values that of integrity and trustworthiness and values that, you know, no gossip and values that we had these values, if those in our leadership had these values, would our world be different? Well, where are you going to get that training? Not in the world. Loved it when we have Enron and all those businesses collapse and all the all the things that were going on in upper management, and all of a sudden Harvard University decided, you know what, we need to have ethics classes. Well, where should you learn ethics? You see, the problem was the church had failed. So I want to challenge us, and I want to encourage you that you are a leader, and we're going to look at that this morning, and that you need to plug into this world in some way with those values and that character that says, listen, I'm going to make a difference, and the world's going to be a better place because I'm a part of this. I have fun. Like I said, I serve on the school board here in Salida. I have a great time serving with others and the kids and the graduation we just had over here the other day for the middle school. And I over here watching my granddaughter and the other kids at the school over here. I walk by the school every day and see the kids. And then the kids know me. See, we need to make a difference in the world, and we need to do it. And our church has done, you know, and as I look at our church, and I said, I've kind of not did as well as I should have. See, before we were portable, we used to have what we called lead night. Anybody remember lead night in our church? Some of you guys aren't raising your hands. Having me hanging here now. You know, lead night, leaders, equippers, once a month we got together and encouraged one another with some training and challenged one another to be better leaders in God's kingdom. We used to have an award we gave out called the David, and we did all sorts of recognition and trying to encourage you, because we're leaders. We want to make a difference. We want things to be changed. And we used to do that. Well, we went portable. We tore our building down, and so we didn't have Sunday night anymore, and that kind of died. And you guys, you know what? I'm going to resurrect it. It's not going to be lead night. It's going to be something different, but we're going to be challenging ourselves to plug in, to be a part. But what we have done, and I want to make sure, we have a solid foundation of a church. You come to our church, and there's an expectation. There's one big expectation in this church. We expect you to be in Bible study during the week. Isn't that an expectation everybody pretty much knows? You need to plug in to a small group. You need to get in Bible study during the week. You know what I say week in and week out? If you're going to make a difference in your life, you're going to make a difference in the world, you need three things in your life to make a difference. You're going to need a local church. You're going to need a small group. You're going to need somebody you can look in the eye and say the things you don't want to hear. Say the hard things to you. If you want to make a difference in life, you're going to have those kind of things. The church, where you're getting that character and you're getting the teaching and you've got a foundation of ethics and morals. You get that small group where you get that community. Then you got to have somebody, because I don't know about you, I mess up. And I need somebody to look me in the eye and say, Gary, you're hurt today. We need those three things in our life if we're going to make a difference. And our church has done good with that. You come here, we want you in a Bible study. There's Monday night, there's Tuesday night, there's Wednesday night, there's Thursday morning. There's Saturday, there's Friday. We have Bible study groups all the time. We have a campaign called 40 Days every year. And we encourage people to get in Bible study. And it's really the biblical foundation. I want to look at the early church. We're just doing what the early church did. Acts chapter 5, verse 40. It's there in your outline. Every day in the temple and in people's homes, they continued teaching the people and telling the good news that Jesus is the Christ. Every day in the temple and in the people's homes, they went home to home, house to house. And we're doing good there. We've endeavored to do that, and we've been teaching God's word. And God's word's what changes us and forms our life. And that's where that moral and that ethical and that teaching that shows that foundation of life. And we've done it. But there's more to it than that. I read this passage that I've quoted many times, and it's found there in Timothy. Again, Paul, that early writer, in these ancient letters he wrote. Listen to what he writes about that teaching of God's word. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. He's saying, listen, God's word is there to teach you the morals and the ethics. You know, it's going to correct you. It's going to show you where you made your mistakes. It's going to teach you how to do things better. It's there for that. So that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. See, I think our church has done really well, and I'm going to take the responsibility. We've done really well on teaching, but we haven't done too well on equipping you to do the good works. We haven't kind of done that. Yeah, I've taken some of our church to conferences and to trainings, and we've made some efforts, but we haven't made the efforts that I think we need to make. It's showing now. in the leadership of the church. I can remember we had our leader meeting the other day, and we'd have about 15 people in there, and there'd be about 6-7 different families in there, 8 families in there. We'd be talking about the leadership of our church. And now we have our leadership meeting, and there's about 3 families in there and about 10-12 people in there, and that's about it. The challenge is that, you know what, we are all leaders. We all need to plug in. We all need to be a part of this. And so I kind of want to get back to that. But I figured today what I needed to set this for, and we're going to spend 4 messages on this topic. So some of you are going, well, I'm done. This is the last week I'll be here, right? Because I don't want to be a leader, right? Anybody want to be a leader? No. I still remember when I was going to working on my master's in the seminary over there, there was a business there, and he had a poster on the refrigerator. Had a bunch of little chicks on this poster. I mean, these just tons of little chicks, little yellow fluff balls on this poster. And above the poster, it just simply said, won't somebody lead? You know, there. Most of us, many people don't want to lead. You know, I don't want the responsibility. Like I say, I'm on a school board, and it's so fun being on a school board. You know, it's like we had to close the school. I had a decision to make. I'm going to tell you, it's a hard decision. You're not going to make any. You have a decision to make when you know somebody's not going to be happy. Anybody ever make decisions like that? It's no fun, you know. And so it's like, okay, we get a committee together to give us some recommendations. There's just 5 of us. So we get a committee together, and they're going to look at the situation and bring a recommendation to them. So, okay, so they'll go out and do their work, and they come back about a month later with this comment. They got down to 2 schools. Well, we already knew that. It's going to be one of these 2 schools. Which one's it going to be? They go, we don't want to make the decision. Guess what? Made me make the decision. Most of us don't like making it. Anybody like making decisions? How about this decision? Anybody thinking this right now? Some of you are probably going through your mind. What are we going to eat for lunch? All right? And you get in your car, and you go something like this. Where are we going to go eat? I don't care. Well, I don't care. I don't care. I don't want to make the decision. You know, I just had this conversation in the hallway with my wife. That's why I'm saying it. You know, I told my wife, I'm hungry. She goes, what are we going to have for dinner? I go, no, what are we going to have? You know, we don't like making decisions, even where we're going to go eat. You need to wife do that. Or is it just, am I weird? You know, it's my wife and I, we get in the car. Well, I don't care. Then you pick one, and then it does make a difference. Anybody been in that one? It's like, well, I really don't want that. Well, you said it didn't matter. You know, that's leadership, you know. And so how do we do this? And so I kind of want to take a few moments and think about it. Because leadership goes all the way back. I'm not a leader. Well, I'm going to show you something. You're a leader. It goes all the way back to the beginning, to the garden, to Adam and Eve. Look at what it says. Genesis 1:28. God blessed them. Adam and Eve is them. Prosper. Reproduce, fill the earth. Now listen, take charge, be responsible for the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and every living thing that moves on the face of the earth. What's he saying? Be the leader, take charge, be responsible, be the leader, be a steward of this world. We all have stewardship. We all have responsibility. It doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are, we all have responsibility. And we're all leaders. And many of us, I don't want to lead. I always tell people, I used to enjoy going to fifth grade camp. We used to have fifth grade camp here in our elementary school. And I love going to fifth grade camp because I had no responsibility. I would go up there, I would just help in the kitchen. You know, whatever you tell me to do, I do. Kids would come and say, can I go do this? I said, go see him. Can I go? Go talk to him. What are we having for lunch? Go talk to him. I had no, anybody like, I like no responsibility. But how often do you get that in life? Especially if you got a family. Anybody got a family? I have no responsibility. I'm just a dad. It's my wife's job. You know? We all have responsibility. So here's what I looked at here. I got it down. You lead in 4 different ways, all right? Levels of leadership, all right? The first one here is you got to lead yourself. You got to lead yourself. You got a job, you got to lead yourself. What time are you going to get up in the morning? What clothes are you going to wear? If you're lucky like me, your wife lays them out for you. So I don't even have to make that decision. I've got a good excuse. I'm colorblind. Thank you. But you lead yourself. You lead your finances. How about a charge card? Anybody have a ship up their charge card? I'm kind of being nosy today, aren't I? Yeah. You lead your finances. We lead ourselves. You set the alarm clock. You know, you choose your class schedules at school. You know, you lead yourself. All right? And if you lead yourself well, pretty soon you might be able to lead others. All right? Now, if you're a mother or a father, you're leaders. Maybe you manage the family finances. Quicken or QuickBooks, or, you know, you manage the family finances. And you lead others. You're part of that family. You're part of that. You know, you go to college, and maybe you got a collaborative team that you're part of. And you're kind of leading that charge in that team. And you're part of what's happening there. But we lead others. After you lead self, you can start leading others. You know, and maybe it's children's church. Maybe it's Awana. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe it's being a coach on a Little League team. I watch my grandson play, and I enjoy watching him play over here at Little League. And one of the things I keep talking, I've got some great leaders over there, because emphasis is not just on winning, it's on sportsmanship. I watched a young boy the other day. He has autism, and he's playing on the Little League team. And, you know, and they gave that kid like 7 strikes. You know, just keep swinging, boy. Just get up there and keep going. You know, I love that. Compassion and care. And it didn't matter who's winning or losing. They were going to let that kid swing until he hit the ball. He never did. About 7 strikes later, about 30 pitches later. You know, but I love that they kept doing that. See, to me, that says something about leadership there. And so there's coaches out there that have the right hearts. And you know what I'm saying? We lead others as coaches and things like that in sports. You know? And then I put down here, you lead leaders. Maybe you've kind of stepped up. Maybe you're a supervisor. You got leadership responsibility of projects. And there's a teamwork in this and a teamwork in there. And, you know, I think it's great. Just so you know, Little League meets here on Monday nights sometimes. This is where they have their meetings to run all of Little League for Salida. And so they use our facility. They got a little group that meets. And so they lead. And the last one I put down here is you lead a ministry. You lead the whole thing. And I want to challenge us as a church. I want to challenge us. Where are we at? Where am I at? What am I about? Where am I plugged in? You know, where's my leadership? Am I just leading myself? Very good, you know? And we were joking this morning. Some of us were kind of laughing and joking this morning. 5 minutes early is what? 10 minutes late, all right? Get that drilled into your head. 5 minutes early is 10 minutes late, because you're supposed to be 15 minutes early. Lead yourself. Yeah, that's me, okay? I just can't stand being late. I got to turn the speaker off out there. I got a wife who's, if she is a minute early, she's early. You know, we walk to school in the morning to go to work, and we walk through the school here because she works right here. And if she's a minute early, she is early. That ain't early. You're on time. You know? And then I got a daughter. 5 minutes late is on time. I got a granddaughter that is in trouble for being tardy to school because her mom works at the school. Explain to me. You know? I'm sorry I'm harping on that. You know? But we all, you know, we lead ourselves. You got to lead yourself. And as you do that, then you can start leading others. You know, we had open house over here at the school, and I had a great time talking to the teachers. I enjoy Awana. Fred, and we have a great group over here. We work with Lisa, and we have a great time with the kids. But I'm going to tell you, I told the teachers there, I get one night a week. I ain't going to do it 5 days a week at a teacher, okay? I really appreciate teachers, because there's no way I want to wrestle kids for 5 days a week, for 6 hours a day. It ain't going to happen. You know, I'll get that one day, and Lisa's the leader, and I just read scriptures. That's it. But we lead leaders, and so I just want to challenge you. And here's my challenge for our church is we're going to come back and start getting some principles. And start doing some teaching and start doing some training. And we're going to start giving a pathway. We're going to bring some jizz back. Because like I said, we did this and we stopped doing this lead night. And we're not going to do lead night. I think I got a picture next. Do I have this picture next? Yeah, 235. Don't you like that? We have class, Christian Life and Service seminars. You know, we have different training events. I'm calling this 235, really simple. So that way you'll never forget what it means. The second Sunday of every month from 3 to 5, we're going to have training in our church. How does that sound? When is it? 235, second Sunday, 3 to 5. What time? 3 to 5, second Sunday. Is that pretty good? So we're gonna give a pathway. We're going to start getting some opportunities so you can get some training to become. And I'm not just talking about training to do something in the church. I'm talking about, I want you to train to be leaders in our communities. You know, I want you to be a supervisor. I want you to be a leader. I want you to be a coach of a baseball team that has Christian character and trustworthy and honor and those traits that we want these kids to have today. Whether it's coaching baseball, umpiring a game, whether it's doing anything in our world, that I plug in and I bring something more than just being there. And so that's what I'm really going to try to have classes on training on how to fill out resumes. You may have to struggle filling out resumes, some of these kids nowadays. And, you know, now it's all online. You know, and how do we do these kinds of things? And so I want to start looking at some of that. And so we're going to change. We're going to have kind of a pathway, and we're going to kind of add some opportunities. And I might call it 235, because I think that's a challenge for us. And I want to encourage you to be a part. And I want to challenge you to be a part. I don't know where you want to plug in, a ministry in the church and a mission in the world, that you're part of something bigger than yourself, that you're plugged in and you have ownership and you're making a difference. And it goes back to that passage where Paul wrote that early church. And I kind of want to put that little verse 10 that we read earlier in the whole context. Listen to what he says here. Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not your own doing. It is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one can boast. Let me give you a picture. What he's saying is, you want a relationship with God, it's not going to be based on good works. Well, I'm a good person. You know, I don't do what's right, and I try to do what's right. I don't do what's wrong, and I try to do what's right all the time. I'm trying to be a good person. I'm working at being a good person. What it says here, being a good person does not get it done. Because anybody here perfect? You know, we all have faults. We all have failures. And so what he's saying is, you don't have to worry about that. God's grace is going to cover that. So once you step, and I call it an invisible line, that once you cross that invisible line, God, and I use words like this in this church, God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them yours. Come my life and take control. That's how you become a believer. That's how you become a Christian. God, I'm tired of doing things my way. Look at my life. Look where I'm at. God, I'm tired of being this way. I want some changes. I want to be different. So you want to change your life. But I want to do it your way. Come into my life and take control. And you make that decision. And then from there, it goes like this. For we are his workmanship, created in Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. See, we're saved to serve, okay? I am saved to become a part of something bigger. I am saved to become of what God wants. And I'm going to try to tear down this wall, our church, this wall that's called secular and sacred. You know, the secular things is what I do during the week, and the sacred thing is what I do on Sunday. I want to tell you, I want that secular, there's no such thing. You are a Christian no matter what you are doing. No matter where you are a Christian and you're representing God. And you have that character. You have that honesty and that trustworthiness. You have that ability to stand in there because you have that character. See, and I don't want, well, this is what I do at church and this is what, you know, I look at most of our Christians in our church. Most people that I know in our church, most that I have fellowship with in our church, most of those I know in our church. You guys don't separate your life, you know. Well, I live one way Monday through Friday. Saturday, that's a totally different day, right? You can do anything on Saturday, you know. And then Sunday, I'm a church person. I can put my religious crown on. Don't I look good? You know? No, you know, I want this to infect your life. And that's what I want these classes. I want to try to help you be a leader wherever you're at. You know, I look back over my life, and I've been blessed. You know, I get a job at a movie theater at 18 years old. 6 months later, guess what? I'm the assistant manager of a movie theater. Doesn't know my story. That went to my head. You know, when you're 18 and you hire and fire, you walk around in white patent leather shoes, carrying a black cane, puffing on a cigar. that leadership kind of went in the wrong place, didn't it? Yeah. That we need to see things like this, and we need to take those characteristics and those qualities with us. And so I want to kind of separate and tear that part of it down. But see, God has created us to do good things. Difference in our church and in our communities. But it's going to call for all of us. And so here's two challenges for most churches. I don't see this in our church. Well, I don't see much of this in our church. How's that? Can I say that? You guys can beat on me later, all right? Here's two challenges for the church today. First, there's a spectator church. You sit there and you watch the pastor. Watch him work. That's the pastor's job. It's the pastor's job to visit the sick in the hospital. It's the pastor's job. It's the pastor's job to tell everybody about Jesus. It's the pastor's job, right? Come on, it's the pastor's job. You know, I come, I sit, I'm the spectator. You know, we kind of like, we go to the football game. You know, we sit there in the stadium and watch the football players. That's one thing. I honestly can't be why anybody would come and watch me preach. I don't get it. That's why it has to be God thing. You guys got to be here because of God, because it ain't me. I mean, you know, I know that for a fact, you know. But they're spectator churches. Just come and sit and be still. And I just read a great article the other day. You know, there's an article they've written, don't make kids sit still in church. It was a really good article because kids learn. You know, I don't know about you, but I didn't sit still in church. Matter of fact, I was carried out a couple of times, and I guess it would be child abuse today when you spank a child. I don't know. You know? But it, yeah, this article was saying, don't, you know, hey, you know, we don't want to be spectators in there. How about this next one? A consumer church. A consumer church. The church exists for me. What's in it? For me. What do you provide? For me. What are you doing? For me. Yeah. Here's the one the pastors dread the most. You know, as a pastor, here's the one you dread the most. Well, you're just not feeding me. Well, how old are you? When did you learn to feed yourself? You know? Can you read? I think you can read the Bible. You know, can you pray? You know, we kind of have some responsibility, but there's consumer churches. Well, you know, here we have all these programs, and here's just plug in. And I want to challenge us in our church. I want us to kind of step up, and I want us to make a difference. You know, one of the two favorite programs in the church for me, well, there's three that I really enjoy in the church. All right? Children's Church, Awana, and you. Because as I work with those, I am changing the future. I really believe that. You know, as I work with the kids and to sit there with kindergartners and watch them memorize God, well, I'm going to tell you, these kindergartners are awesome. To be with the youth group and we go up and clean Jeunesse Park and we go up there, we go to this conference and you see the kids just fill the aisle making decisions for God and recommitments and rededications. You know, I love those ministries. And I want to challenge us. And so what I want to do as our church is this 235, and we're going to be pushing this through, trying to equip us with skills and knowledge, to equip us with tools, to challenge the fears. Well, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to do that. You know, like I say, I'll do children's once. I remember we had training here in our church. We brought Tom Ballou, came in to do training for children's workers. Remember some of you guys went to the training in the conference room? They sent me, in order for you guys to be in the conference room, guess who took care of the kids in the nursery? Me. I was in the nursery. Guess who was spying on me through the act? Because we got watch the nursery. They sent Evie in there to help me, could help. I was in over my head. And so we're in there wrestling with the kids. But we do things to train and to equip. So that's what I want to talk about. Here, I'm going to give you four things real quick that I want you to be a part of. That I want you to plug into. Either you're going to be a spectator or a consumer, or you're going to do these four things, okay? That's my challenge to you. So here we go. Be available. Be available. Let me make it real simple. Show up. All right? When there's training, when there's opportunities, show up. Be there. Be available. You know, good intentions don't get it done. Anybody had some good intentions last week that didn't get done? You know, I was going to do this and I was going to do that, and I had some things I needed to get done. As a matter of fact, it's on my to-do list on my phone. It reminds me, Gary, you haven't done it yet. Gary, you haven't done it yet. Gary, you have. I watched that thing 5 times go by this week. Anybody do that one? I know, I'm going to get to it. I'm going to get to it. I didn't get to it. You know, I put a reminder to tell me to do it. See, I want to challenge you. If you want to be equipped, if you want to do something, you're going to have to get some training. You're going to have to be available. You're going to have to be there. Part of the greatest picture of that is a guy named Isaiah. God came to him, and God has this big picture of what needs to get done, and God goes this. Then I heard a voice of the Lord saying, here's what Isaiah says. Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? And I said, here am I, send me. See, I want to challenge us. Will you be available to do good works? Will you make yourself available to show up, maybe for some training, maybe to plug into a ministry? Will you be available to take these opportunities, wonderful opportunities to grow and to mature and to become who God shaped you to become, who God shaped you to be? So the first thing here is be available. The next one I put down here is be dependent. I'll give you some good news right now. Whatever God asks you to do, you can't do. Isn't that good news? Whatever God is laying on your heart, whatever God has shaped you to do, you can't do it on your own. You're going to need to depend on God and the Holy Spirit to help you do it. You see me stand here now and I preach. I don't worry about who's here. I go do that prayer in front of over 1,000 people. I went and did that prayer this week for graduation. Over 1,000 people in there. I did a prayer. You know, my first sermon, 10 minutes, crying. I was done. I was toast. Forget it. I still remember my first speech in 6th grade. Hated to get in front of people. Anybody like that one? I didn't want to stand in front of anybody. Now, you know what? I don't care. Here's my rule. I'm going to screw up. I might as well do it in front of everybody. I mean, you know, I guarantee you, I don't, you know, I'm going to come out here, and I've already said some things. Man, you shouldn't have said that. You know, but God changed. Here's a kid who barely graduates high school. I'm watching some of these kids that barely graduate high school. That was me. I'm sitting there during the high school graduation. They're given all these awards for academic success. And my mind goes like this. I would have never got any of those rewards. If you talk to my teachers, they would have never gave me an award. They would have gave me an award that says, good to see you leave. You know, I would have never measured up. But then I go like that. Is that a good measure of success? Is that a good measure who's going to be successful? Here's somebody who barely graduates high school. I tell them all the time, I had to sit 2 weeks in the counselor's office to graduate because I was 2.5 units short because I went fishing too much on the river. All right? But I graduate, then I go to college, and then I go to the postgraduate school, then I go on, and it's like, why? I'm going to tell you why. Not because Gary's smart, because Gary's only smart enough to know that, God, I need your help. I liked it when I went to work on my doctorate. His comment was this. Here's your grades when you work on your doctorate. Pass, do over. I can do this, because I'll do it over. I've had to do it 100 times. Do it over till I get it. I'm dumb enough to do that. All right? I'm going to depend on God. God has to get me through this. I'm going to tell you, whatever you want to do, God can get you through. Because that's who God is. And look at what it says. Here's Jesus. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper. Circle that. To be with you forever. Not just a part-time guy. Not to be show up every once in a while. But he's going to be there forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. See, we need to depend on that Holy Spirit. Not on our knowledge, not on our ability, not on our understanding, not on our wisdom, but on the power and knowledge of God and the Holy Spirit. Be available. Be dependent. Let me get going here. Be a team player. You're not in this by yourself. You're part of a team. You're not alone. We're all here together. You know, being part of what God does is no solo thing. I enjoy watching NASCAR. Anybody else watch NASCAR? Am I just the crazy, you know, just Go down the road, turn left, right? Go turn left, turn until you get to the road course. But here's what I found out. You know, I never watched auto racing until I went and rode on the track. I did a 15-passenger van on the Charlotte Motor Speedway at 90 miles an hour. It was fun. But the thing I've learned is this. You watch those guys, you know what? There's an engineer designing that car that's aerodynamically designed. There's an engineer building that engine that puts out 800 horsepower, that tunes that engine. There's a guy on top of what they call a box telling the driver. There's somebody up in the tower watching them go around the track that says, you can get over, you better not pull over, there's somebody coming. There's five guys in the pit crew changing the tire. You want to watch some choreography? Watch the guys on a pit crew now in auto racing and watch them change tires. How would you like to change four tires on a car and fill it up in less than 14 seconds? It's amazing to see. It's not just go down and turn left. Man, there's a lot going on there. Well, I'm going to tell you, same thing in a church. You come to church on Sunday morning. They get up here and worship team sings. The computer screws up. Man, I was in church. The preacher gets up, says a few words. This one talks too long. You're done. Yeah. But there's a whole team behind all of this, you know. Ronnie Jones comes in and vacuums all these chairs. You know, some of you ladies wear these glittery dresses. You know what that does to the chair? Yeah. Some of you got long hair, you know. You know, Ronnie comes in and vacuumed all the chairs, you know. And there's people doing all sorts of things, making sure it works, you know. Making sure there's water in the rooms for the preschool and the nursery. You know, you get to see me and these up here, and there's lots of people doing things behind the scene. There's ushers out there, people coordinating for the offering, and everybody's doing a part. It takes team. So I'm going to say, be a team player. Find a place to plug in and be a part of what God is doing, supportive, and you know, support the team, and the team supports you. And here's what it says. Christian leaders should serve the team they lead. Servant Jesus got them together to settle things down. Why don't you circle servant Jesus? Over to the side. Yes. Servant leader. All right? Servant Jesus got them together to settle things down. You've obsessed how godless rulers throw their weight around. Don't you like a boss? You ever got a boss? Do it because I said so. Well, you know it's going to be wrong. I don't care. I told you to do it. Anybody got bosses like that? He said, and when people get a little power, how quickly it goes to their heads. I can identify with that one. It's not going to be that way with you. Whoever wants to be great must become a servant. Whoever wants to be first among you must be your slave. That is what the Son of Man has done. He came to save, to serve, not to be served, and then to give away his life in exchange for many who were held hostage. Be a part of the team. It's servant leadership. You know, the one thing as your pastor, I've always told people, nobody gets here and has authority. I don't have any authority. You know, I have no authority whatsoever. I'm going to tell you who has the authority in this church. I'm going to do whatever God says. I've had people come into the church and they want a leadership role so they can tell people what to do. That ain't going to last very long because you're not going to have anybody to follow you if you keep telling them what to do. And so I want to challenge you to be part of a team. Let me get the last one down here. It's called be trained. Be trained. You got to be intentional. You're going to see 235 going around this church, and I'm going to ask you, will you plug in? When you see something that says, you know, that might make me a better person, or that opportunity for me, that might help me grow, that might teach me something, that might help me understand, that might give me a knowledge, that might give enhance a skill, that might be something I need. Will you be willing to be trained? When you see 235, when you talk about classes, Christian Life and Service Seminar, Class 101, Discovering Church Membership, or 201, Dealing With, and Stephen teaches it on being a disciple and Christian maturity, or 301, Your Shape. Will you plug in and be a part of those? Look at what it says. After this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector named Levi sitting in the tax collector's booth. Jesus said to him, follow me. So Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. I want to challenge you to step up and follow, to be a part, to plug in, to find your place, to be willing to be trained, to do something. Let's be a spectator church. You know, let's not be a consumer church. Let's be a church with a ministry and a mission that makes a difference in our community and in our families. Let's change the world. I'm excited. You know, I really am. It's kind of like I've kind of let this slide. It's been 15 years since we did Lead Night, and I'm just going over my notes going, you know what? We've got to get back. We've got to become who God wants us to be, and not just, this is me. Lead yourself. How you doing? I want to ask you, how you doing? How you doing leading yourself? Your finances? Your time? Are you a wise steward of your time? How you doing leading yourself? Bible study? You got a little quiet time with God? A little prayer time with God? How you doing leading yourself? Will you step up now and lead others? Will you find an opportunity to lead others? Maybe in the church, in a ministry, maybe in the community, parents' clubs. There's a young lady over here that grew up in Slide. Give her a bad time all the time. She's one of the leaders of the parents' club, and I talk to her every time. We kind of just have fun today because I watched her grow up from this. Did you make a difference? How about leading leaders? You know, you kind of moved on, and you're leading leaders. Maybe in the streets. See, I want to challenge you. I want to end with this verse right here. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. God has a plan for your life. God has a purpose for your life. He shaped you to form good works. How you doing? I want this church to be a part of life and what God is doing. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you that you are the life-giving God, that every life has the breath of God in it, that no one is here upon this earth by accident. No one is here in this place today by accident. You brought them here, Lord, for a purpose and a plan. Maybe there's been some words of encouragement to continue. Maybe it's been a challenge to change. That we can be the people of good works in a ministry and on mission. You know, as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, maybe you've been challenged. Maybe there's some challenges in your life and it's just, you know, life's just not working out well for you right now. And you're saying, you know what, I need to lead myself. Would you pray for me to do better in my life? Would you just shoot your hand up and let me pray for you? Thank you. I see that one. Thank you. Thank you. I see that one. Anyone else? Thank you. I see that one. Lord, you've seen the hands of these who want to begin leading themselves better. Or we can even lead ourselves independently and by ourselves, that we need your strength and your wisdom. Lord, I want to pray a prayer of Solomon. Lord, you offered him anything and everything he could have, and he asked for one thing, for wisdom. So I pray wisdom upon these who lifted their hands, or that you give them wisdom, that you open the windows of heaven, you pour out upon them a knowledge and a wisdom, that they may make well decisions and good decisions, and lead themselves in your ways and your truths. In Jesus, I pray. Amen. Well, it's positive of our service. We give an invitation. Invitation is real simple. I'm just going to stand here. I don't know what God...